Let's catch up on the week's news in Spain, and I think you know what we're going to talk about here. It's Simon at El País. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Bill. Mm. How are you?
Oh, good. Now, is it Catalonia or Catalunya?
Depends where you're coming from, really. We always say Catalonia. In Spanish, it's Catalunya. So we call it Catalonia. I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah. Much easier to say than it is to unravel. Deadline after deadline, what is going on?
I was going to say, the pronunciation is probably the only thing that we can agree on when it comes to this. To be honest, this topic, I keep comparing it to Brexit because I think it's as polarized, you know, the opinion of our readers is as polarized on this as people are about the topic of Brexit. And to be honest, it's turned into quite a sort of toxic topic. We've been running story after story, as you can imagine. We've been running lots of editorials and opinion pieces, and it's just amazing to see the reaction of our readers. And also, this is very telling about modern news consumption. You can see that people are voicing their opinion without having read the article. I mean, they literally, people are just reading the headline and the brief bit of copy that goes on Facebook and then commenting. I mean, it really is just the most extraordinary. We've never covered a story like this, and there's no end in sight. We're all exhausted.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Working overtime for weeks. So
as far as we are aware, there was a deadline set by Rajoy for them to come out and say, have you actually declared independence or have you not? And that deadline passed with nothing happening.
Exactly. So the regional premier, Carlos Puigdemont, he sent this letter to Rajoy where he really just completely skirted the question last week in this incredibly anticipated appearance in the regional government. He kind of made this declaration of independence but then immediately suspended it, which just left everyone scratching their heads and say, well, what on earth has just happened? So now what happens now? Well, the government has given him another deadline until Thursday to again try and clarify, have you declared independence or not? If the regional government says that it has, then Article 155 of the Constitution will swing into action. And what that allows the central government to do is to suspend the regional powers, the regional self-government powers in Catalonia.
Sorry to interrupt you. So just to be really clear here, what that means is like it's almost like the Westminster government saying to Scotland, you have no government anymore. It's all going to be done from London.
Exactly. But the only problem is no one really knows what this kind of scenario is going to look like, including the central government, because it's something, it's a bit like, again, to use the Brexit analogy, it's a bit like Article 50. It's something that no one ever thought would have to be put into place. So no one really knows what the effect is going to be. Now, there are some that are pushing the government to say, OK, put the article into place, into effect, and call regional elections, which would be a very interesting scenario. Because one thing that people often forget when people, you know, the very pro-independence, our pro-independence readers that we see on Facebook commenting on Twitter, they quite often forget the fact that the last regional elections in Catalonia were run almost like a plebiscite. So the parties just said, OK, this is it. They won't let us have a referendum, so let's have a vote. If you want an independent Catalonia, vote for our party. And Junts per Sí, which is the party that's in government, didn't achieve a majority. They ran on that platform and they didn't achieve a majority. So that's the argument against what's going on in Catalonia at the moment, as to say that the pro-independence movement did not get an overwhelming majority to push ahead and they were running on a single issue.
Right.
And then what did they have to do? They had to go into power with the CUP party, who are these far-left anti-capitalist party. Mm-hmm. They were the least voted in those elections, but they were also running on an independence, a pro-independence platform. So that's where, you know, why they went kind of, you know, but they're very odd bedfellows, these two parties.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen on Thursday? Well, it looks like it's likely that Puigdemont, the regional premier, is just going to kind of ignore this second deadline, at which point we could see the government swing into action and say, OK, well, this is it now. We're going to declare Article 155.
I mean, is that a given now? I mean, he did say on Monday you've got to do something about it, and then there wasn't the original thing, you've got to declare it by Monday, and then if you don't say whether you have or haven't declared independence, then we're just going to go ahead and that's the end of it anyway. We're going to invoke Article 155 anyway.
Exactly. It looks like if nothing happens tomorrow, and that's what it's looking like, then this will be the next step, and then we're into completely uncharted territory.
This was what was called the nuclear option, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but it really is. I mean, because if you think about, you know, this is the extraordinary thing. We've still got all those 6,000 national police and civil guard officers stationed in the northeastern region. They're still on those. I don't know if you remember the story about them being posted on this ferry with the Looney Tunes cartoon characters on the side, because they had to draft in these passenger ferries because they needed someone to put all these officers. One of the passenger ferries has got these Looney Tunes cartoons on the side of it, just to add a sort of surreal touch to things. But we all saw what happened on October the 1st at the referendum when the National Police and the Civil Guard got involved. It was not a great success. Mm. And what's happening is that the pro-independence forces in Catalonia are almost being strengthened by the way that the government is acting, and also the judiciary as well, because one of the things that we've seen this week is two pro-independence association leaders, the two Geordies, as they're known, because they both happen to have the first name Geordie.
Yes, yeah, so they're not from Newcastle. No.
No. They were sent to prison this week without bail as part of their probe, the court probe into them at the moment for charges of sedition. Mm. Now, this dates back to really kind of the event that sort of kicked off all of this whole episode, which was back on September the 20th and into the morning of the 21st. The Civil Guard, following a court order, was sent into Catalonia to launch a number of raids to search for material and documents relating to the planned referendum on the basis that it had been banned by the Constitutional Court and therefore was illegal. Now, these two characters, the two Geordies, Wayaiman, were outside the regional economy department, and they were organising the crowds, and they were encouraging people to stay there and to try and block the Civil Guard from carrying out these searches. Legal secretary actually had to exit the building via the rooftop, and she mingled in with a crowd of people leaving a theatre show next door. I mean, just to give you an idea of what kind, you know, what the situation was on the ground. They also destroyed protesters, seriously vandalised three Civil Guard vehicles that were there, causing about 130,000 euros worth of damage, and that's what these two guys are in court for, because they are being accused of sedition, basically, which is under the Spanish Criminal Code, it's obstructing the law, basically, just to very roughly sum it up, and on the basis they were trying to stop these court-ordered searches from going ahead. And of course, what's happened? Well, these two characters were sent to jail, and last night there were huge protests in Barcelona. There's claims that are being held as political prisoners. So I mean, really, at the moment, the way that you view this at the moment seems to be whether you live in Catalonia or whether you live outside of Catalonia. If you ask someone on the street who lives outside of Catalonia, they're probably likely to say to you, "No, this is just this is the law and the constitution being observed. What's happening in Catalonia, what the Catalan government are doing, is outside of the law." Yep. And if you ask someone in Catalonia, then they'll say, "No, this is a struggle for freedom and for, you know, to escape the yoke of the Spanish state and oppression."
Yeah.
And what we've been trying to do what El País has been trying, I'm not going to make no bones about it, El País's editorial line is very much with the constitution.
Yeah.
It's condemned what's been happening in Catalonia, the way that the government, regional government, has been behaving. And one of the things that we've been trying to do, we have a blog in Spanish, which we sometimes translate into English, called Hechos Facts. And the idea is to pick apart fake news stories and things that are out there that are false. So in a lot of cases, what we've been doing is taking stuff that's going out there about Catalonia and breaking it down piece by piece. And one, as soon as these guys got locked up, one of the associations that they head, they're called the ANC and Omnium, one of these associations released this video, and basically it's called, you may have seen it, it's been doing the rounds on social media, it's called Help Catalonia, Help Catalonia or something like that. Help Catalonia. And it's this almost, it's quite extraordinary video. It's this kind of propaganda style film. It's fronted by a Spanish actress, and basically it just makes some pretty extraordinary claims. It's based on a video that was doing the rounds in 2014 from the Ukraine, which was, at the time asking for help from the European Union because of the crisis that it was going through with Russia. So we basically published this blog yesterday, which picked apart all of these claims, because there was things like, in Catalonia, the values of freedom, democracy, human rights and social rights are being attacked. And it's, well, not really. It's not really an oppressed, it's not really the oppressed state that it makes itself out to be. What crime had these people committed going out to vote in reference to the October the 1st referendum? The Spanish government declared the vote illegal, which of course isn't true. It was the Constitutional Court. People see the government behind the way that the courts are behaving, but we're in a democracy. There is a separation of powers. We have a judiciary. We have a government. But to say that the government is behind everything, it seems a little bit of a stretch. There was also claims that the police arrested 14 Catalan government officials without any court orders, which isn't even true. It was 11 government officials and then three private citizens who were involved in allegedly involved in the preparation of the referendum. And of course we put this out yesterday, and I mean, you could probably
like the blue touch paper. Yes,
exactly. You hit the nail on the head. I've actually posted that on my personal Facebook account when we've run some stories, and I've literally posted light touch paper stands well back.
Absolutely.
It's just completely polarized at the moment.
Can I ask you a very obvious question, Simon? Have they actually got together and had a conversation, or is it simply that he just sent, a letter? I can't believe he sent a letter for a start, but have they actually talked?
No, there's been
no... Well, that's ludicrous, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't. The position of the Spanish government is that we're not going to sit down with the regional powers in Catalonia until they step back within the law.
Right.
And it's a bit like that. It's kind of it's a bit like that kind of thing. If they were to cede now, then what would there be to stop another region within Spain that might like the idea of independence? I'm thinking, obviously, the Basque Country and to a certain extent, Galicia. What would there be to stop them from taking the same route? This whole Catalonia affair sets a precedent, then what would there be to stop them? Now, that's not to say that the Prime Minister, Mariano Rajoy, could have done things very, very differently. Mm. He's a wait-and-see politician. He's the kind of politician who just sort of sits back and lets situations play out rather than taking an active role. And unfortunately, what's happened here is this has just got complete... I mean, the fact that we've got this far and the kind of tensions within society that this has unleashed is really pretty scary. I don't know what it's like around your way, but in Madrid, everywhere you look, people have hung Spanish flags out on their balconies.
Spraying champagne over each other.
There you go. But it's whipped up these kind of tensions, within society that obviously were there underlying, but fortunately for a long time have been kept under wraps. Yeah. And the problem is, if you put this into a historical context of a country that had a civil war within living memory and in a subsequent dictatorship, then it's just a bit of a powder keg of a situation. My wife's grandmother was briefly, she was actually locked up during the civil war, and people of her generation are just completely glued to the TV news about this issue, because it obviously brings back some pretty some pretty frightening memories and possible future situations.
Well, to quote the eminent poet Bonnie Tyler, they're sitting in a powder keg and giving off sparks.
Absolutely. I couldn't have put it better than Bonnie.
And so tomorrow, then, something will happen. We've got about a minute left, but tomorrow something will happen, right?
Exactly. Tomorrow something will happen. The deadline is going to expire at 10 a.m. tomorrow. In all likelihood, Puigdemont is not going to move, not going to do anything. So then the ball will be back in the Spanish central government's court and it will be up to them to take the next steps.
Right.
But one thing is for sure is that this story is going to run. And
absolutely.
We're all very tired and we'd like a break, please, Catalan.
Well, one piece of good news, unconnected with it entirely, is that you have actually received compensation from Ryanair.
Yes.
Which I'm delighted that actually they've paid out compensation.
Yes, I have to say, despite the phenomenal mess up of their pilot schedule problems,
yeah,
they very quickly refunded a full amount that we'd paid for the flights. They refunded the car hire payment that we'd already made. They then sent us a €80 vouchers for flights. And then they gave us €250 of compensation each. So we've kind of walked away with just over, just under €1,000.
But the big but there is that your flights were cancelled within the 2 week period.
Exactly, yeah. And very cheekily, my parents actually suffered flight cancellations last week when that French air traffic controller strike happened. And we've been kind of digging around at the newspaper because it seemed very suspicious that Ryanair should cancel so many flights with 24 hours warning. Because, of course, if it's a strike, they don't have to pay you any compensation.
No, indeed.
And they seem to cancel a lot more flights than anyone else. Weirdly, it didn't get any coverage, hardly any coverage in the UK media, that story. Mm. I flagged it up to the economy department here because it had happened to us, and I looked on Twitter and everyone was saying, oh my God, my flight's just been cancelled with no notice.
As they were standing in the queue, in fact.
Yes, absolutely. So very, very strange goings on.
But, well, I'm glad to hear that some positiveness has come out of the Ryanair saga for you anyway, Simon. Brilliant. Well, thank you for that. Well, by the time we get to next week, we'll certainly have a lot more to talk about then anyway.
Definitely.
Thank you, sir. All the best. Thank
Cheers.
You.